We got live. Where's that video? Bum, 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 bum. Good morning. What's going on, Georgie?
Good morning. We are going to be talking about some. We're going to be talking about some fun stuff today. Sammy's got some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff. We're going to talk Rob Liefeld. We're going to talk about Ghostbusters, and of course, we're also going to be talking about the topic for today. Is, you know, what do you do when things go wrong? How do you maneuver around that kind of stuff? How do you plan for that?
Yeah. That's
coming up next.
So grab your cup of brew and join us today. Let's get it. And an episode of Catch the Craze. What's up, Georgie Porgy Pudding Pie?
What's going on? Welcome, everyone, to the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew, as my voice cracks like I'm a teenager. But here we are. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for coming in this morning. We are going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff, just, you know, pop culture stuff. We're going to be talking about a topic for today. So if you're interested in stuff like this, please subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, comment below, you know, hit the bell so that you know what's going on every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are up to 6:01. What up, Paul? Paul's already awake.
Yes, we're up to 6:01.
6:01. So thank you very much to you guys for, you know, taking us over the 600.
Yeah.
Mark. Yes.
Yesterday, yes. Yesterday. I mean, so in the past 28 days, we got 13 new subscribers to the channel. Hmm. So that's pretty dope.
All right. So you put the call out, man, and the fans, you know, they answer the call.
Ooh-dee-hoo!
That's it. They come through. Listen, we've had a lot of fun in the last 600 episodes. And, you know, big shout out to Paul, who had that message up from ASAP Imagination. Yo, he's doing some great stuff.
I thought I was a super poster. This guy's got it on a whole nother level.
He's off the hook. But we've had, like I was saying, we've had a lot of fun in the last 600. For the 600 subscribers, we've had a lot of shows, man. We've done a lot of shows. We were just talking behind the scenes about some of the fun, you know, moments that we've had, and we'll share that with you in just a few minutes. Not yet, you know. Yes. We're getting everybody they're coming in.
That's something special for you.
We got a little something came up on my, you know, memories from Facebook a year ago today. Something happened on the show that made me kind of walk away for a second. So check that out. It's coming. It's coming. But yeah, no, we have a lot of stuff going on, Sam. So what's going on? Good morning, sir. Hope you're feeling better. I know you still have that nasty cough.
I got the worst part of it. It's the yucky part. It's where the phlegm de la phlegm kind of stuff. It's just like,
God, people are having breakfast, Sam.
When things come out of your body, you're like, what the hell is that?
Oh, dang.
It's like, no.
It have to be like that. Dang.
Yeah, right. Let it be. So I've been doing live draws every day, and I'll be doing one later today. Getting ready for the Fan Expo. Dallas Fan Expo. I'm getting ready for that on the 17th, 18th, 19th. I'm excited about that. I'm in Artist Alley booth number 1409. So if you guys are there, come and check it out. You know, I'll be there, and I'll have commissioned sketch cards, commissioned sketch covers. I'll have the books, you know, and also if you're going to be at the expo and you have a booth, hit me up, because in the mornings before the show starts, before they open to the public, every morning I'm going to go around with the camera and get 5-minute highlights of the indie creators that are there for the show. So basically, it's just like who you are, what are you promoting, you know, and what do you got coming up next down the pike? Just to give you a shout out. So if you want me to, you know, spotlight you, just hit me up, and I will be more than happy to oblige. So yeah, so I'll be there the 3 days. It's gonna be fun. But and if you segueing into the Kickstarter, if you back the campaign and you're gonna be at the Dallas Fan Expo, come over to my booth. I got a special gift for you for backing the campaign. More to come on that. But yeah, the campaign's still going. We got 21 days left. I do want to remind everybody that you know, one of the reasons why I did the campaign, one of the reasons it gets excited is that on issue one, I partnered with a comic book for kids and was able to send 25 copies of Disneyland My Toilet issue one to the organization. And I got a nice comment, and I'll just show it on the screen. I got nice feedback from Mark Weiss, who's the president of and founder. And he says, "Sam, we received the books, the comics today, had a chance to review it myself and loved it. Heck, I even had fun with the quiz. I can't wait to get these out. The kids are going to love these." So again, if you add this, this is an add-on. So if you add this to your bucket and for comic book for kids, I will add a sketch card to your package. So when you get in the mail, so you'll get a sketch commission sketch card by me, color, just as my way of saying thank you. And well, the reason why this is very important to me is because when I was young, when I was a kid, my brother, he was born with a defective liver. So he spent most of his childhood in the hospital, and he had multiple surgeries, trying to get a liver that would take to his body. And because of that, because he grew up in his early years in the hospital, he would receive all these donations. And when I would go visit him, he had all these toys and all this and art stuff. And, you know, he used to draw. And that's what influenced me, because I saw him drawing Three Monkeys in a Barrel. But when this organization popped up, and thank you for Russell Allen, who made me aware of this, I jumped at the chance because it reminded me of my brother, who received so many amazing gifts because of, you know, people who donated. So his out my way of giving back. So last time, I think it was 15 books were ordered. I added an extra 10 so to make it an even 25, and I shipped it. So for every one of these orders, I'm also adding a 6 books. So there's 5. So if you see on this on the screen, it shows 6 books. You're paying for 5, but I'm sending 6. For every order. So it's a great organization for kids in the hospital. You know, life, you know, handed them a raw deal, and they're fighting the good fight. And so what a great way to put a smile on their face. So if you have a moment, go check it out. Add that tier. That'd be awesome. I'd like to double what I sent last time. I said 25 last time. If I can do 50 or better, that'd be awesome. So head over to Kickstarter if you can. The link, I'll put the link in the chat. It's also in the summary. But the yeah, so that's my spiel on that. And the fact that duty and Disneyland in My Toilet, it's educational, it's fun, it's safe for the family to enjoy. So give it a shot. You're definitely going to laugh and you're going to enjoy it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So yeah, so get on there. Make sure it's going on now through, June 29th or June 30th?
June 30th, 7 p.m.
June 30th, 7 p.m. It's going on. So yeah, make sure you check that out. Check it out. It's in the show notes. So yeah.
Remember, you know, just for coming back, you're gonna get this. So just for backing both campaigns, issue 1 and 2, you're gonna get this magnet. It's 3 inches by 4 inches, a nice big sturdy magnet. You can, you know, place it anywhere. If we get to 100 backers, I mean, we had 86 last time, but we've been stuck on 31. So if you can share the link with friends and family, if you know anybody with kids, share the link out. I'd like to get 86 backers or 100, but if we get 100, everyone's going to get this print, not framed. You're going to get a print of Duty running from the ants and the squirrels. It's an 8x8 print. It fits nicely in a 10x10 frame. It's beautiful. It's my way of saying thank you. So again, if you can share it out, that'd be dope. Thank you so much. I appreciate every single one of you. And if you get a chance, you know, daily, I'll be going live drawing. Join me in a live stream. If you want to draw in the background, talk, you know, chat it up. I'll be doing a different piece every day.
Sweet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then just a quick update for those who pledged to the campaign for the Adventures of Wonder Duck. Surveys have gone out and you guys are responding. Thank you so much. 71% of them have already come back. So there's still a few that haven't come back. So make sure that you fill those out so that I have the information I need to send the packages out to you guys. Those are important. The campaign right now, I believe they've received all of the, well, they've collected all of the funds from you guys. And now it's going to take another, 7 days or whatever for them to release them to me. Yeah. Once that happens, then boom, I will start sending everything out to the printers and hopefully get that back within the next couple of weeks and then have all that stuff for you by July as promised. So yeah, that's a real quick update on what's going on with the Adventures of Wonder Duck. So yeah, definitely check your spam folders, check everything in your email for right. that, or just sign up or just sign into your Kickstarter account. And you'll get a big red bar at the top that'll say fill it out, fill the survey or survey missing or something. I don't know. It'll say something like that. Click on it and then you can just fill it out. But yeah, Sam. So yeah, so that's what we've got going on over yeah. her. But as far as what we're going to be talking about today, man, we got some fun stuff for the peoples out there. You were talking to me about Seth Rogen doing something for the Teenage yeah. Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah, Heroes in the Half Shell. Turtle mm-hmm. Power. They're the world's most fearsome fighting team.
We're gonna sing the announcement. I love it.
Half shell. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm a turtle.
Who was your favorite turtle?
My favorite was Splinter.
your favorite turtle was a rat. I love it.
Yeah, Splinter. He was so cool under pressure. Gotcha. He was the one with the most common sense.
So you don't have a favorite turtle.
You remind me of character. If you took Bruce Lee and you took Frank Sinatra and a little bit of Al Pacino's role in The Godfather. You put them together, that Splinter in my eyes, he was cool, he was suave, he was dangerous. He was under pressure. He was legit. I was like, yo, that's right, the man. Right.
But you didn't answer the question. That's your favorite character. That's your favorite. You're like a politician. That's the favorite character out of the four turtles. Which one did you like the most? The four turtles. Did you hate them? Did you not like them?
No. What are you talking about? I love the turtles.
Right, so which one was your favorite?
But, every one of them was. Each and every one of them had, it's like you put them four together, they made the perfect turtle in my eyes. I would say,
damn. All right.
I would say Raphael.
Raph. Okay. You like Raph?
I'll say Raph.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. He was, he was ready to brawl. I like
gotcha,
him.
Gotcha.
He's ready to get it on.
That's funny. Yeah, my favorite was Leo. I love Leo.
Yeah, everyone says Leo. Everyone you ask, they all say Leo.
I've never asked anybody. You're the first person I asked.
put it on the forum. Leo.
Leo's my favorite. No, I think that they all had like their own little qualities. I think Michelangelo was probably the most fun. He liked pizza and he was like, dude, like that was his whole thing. And Donatello was the smart one. He was like,
I love being a turtle.
He was the smart one. Obviously Raph was the rogue. He went rogue all the time. What I mean? He was like
that's kind of the guy
who went rogue. Leo was more the thinker, the leader of the team, the one that was like, yo, dude, chill.
It's funny.
They all had their personalities. It's freaking dope. Yeah.
It's funny because when I was in retail, right? my best boss was the last boss I had, right? This guy was the Don. I mean, he was like the chief revenue officer. He was the best. He was the one I was looking for my entire career, right? And so he was trying to groom me to be his replacement. I was like, nah, no. And I told him, I said, look, I am the perfect second. I said, not the first. I said, and he's like, he's looking at me. I said, I can't do your job. I said, but I'm the guy that you want getting the things done in the behind the scenes. And that's why Ralph is so important, you know, important, because he's, you know, he's needed in that whole scenario. So for me, it's always been that way. You know, I can lead an organization as the number two guy, the second guy. You know what I mean? I never wanted to be that one guy, because there's things that come with that. It's not appealing to me. The other stuff, you know, give me, what do you need? We need to secure this location, whatever it is, about whatever. Boom, I got it. So that's why he inspired. Yeah, I like that character. He's gonna get it done.
Yeah, I like Leo because Leonardo da Vinci is one of my favorite, you know, artists. and I like, and it's as simple as I like the color blue. Like it was
I love blue. I mean, you can see my walls.
It's not as deep. I just thought he was like a, you know, it was. I love the fact that you could choose between the four like that. And that was the whole thing with like even like the toys, collecting them all, like collecting all of your. I feel like today, I don't know, maybe I'm just an old man, but kids miss out on that, man, on that collecting the characters and collecting the toys and stuff like that. You know, like some of that stuff is missing.
Because
today, man.
Because I think what happened was it was the whole making money scheme. It took away the nostalgic value and of being able to collect toys and play with them. Everybody made it into a money sale. They go looking for the action figures, but they're only looking to it because they want to resell it on eBay. They're trying to flip it. So kids they're not looking to play. They're looking to make money, because that's the order of things today. It's about, you know, self-preservation, you know, get yours, you know, I got to eat, got to put food on the table. You know, I want to get mine, you know, and I want to be an influencer, an entrepreneur. I want to go on, you know, social media and say, look, I just found this rare collectible. Because if you go on social media, you're going to see those toy hunters, right? They're everywhere. And as young as freaking 10 years old, going over there, I got the rare, you know, Power Rangers with the gold symbol, and boom, and I just flipped it on eBay for this much. So it's not, when we were kids, it was about fun, bragging rights, playing with your friends. It was the cool stuff.
Yeah. But what were you, so what was the thing that Seth is doing with the turtle?
Yeah, so Seth Rogen, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie is the first of a new franchise. So he's working on an animated series. He's leading the helm, CGI. And it says, Seth Rogen, new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated film will be the first of multiple planned projects for the Heroes in a Half Shell revival, among a slew of video games, animated shows, and a gritty comic miniseries featuring Michelangelo as the last living Ninja Turtle. The franchise remains as popular as ever for old and new fans, but the Turtles have not been present at the box office since 2016 Michael Bay's produced sequel, Out of the Shadows, an ill-received live-action animation hybrid. So, This is probably one of those things that was negotiated during the expo. Everyone's looking for those new franchises or whatever, and pitching what they can do to build a brand. And Seth Rogen is leading the helm. So congratulations to him. He's a true turtle fan. That's dope. I don't think you can look. See, I'm not that guy. I'm not that critic, right? I just enjoyed all the turtles. A couple of the animations got a little corny. But that last movie, I was digging it. I mean, I was just impressed by the CGI. I was impressed by the effects. I was like, wow, this is pretty dope. But you know, the fact that they're going down to the last living turtle in the gritty comic book, that's a little, why does everybody gotta go dark? But no, main turtles popular was the fun stuff.
Yeah, no, but you know what though? To defend what you're saying about why it's going dark. That you talk about Ronin, right? You talk about the Ronin storyline that they had.
Is that the one where he's the last living turtle?
Yeah, yeah. That's a concept that they created way back in the day. That was something that was there from the jump. That wasn't something that just happened today. Like they had that storyline way back in the 90s when they created the turtles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turd Fest. So yeah, so it's not that it's going dark now. It's not that it's going dark now. It's that that was there. So yeah, I don't think that's a thing of now.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
my pledge. All right, that's awesome, man. Awesome.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's it's a great organization. They do great things. And I'm just excited to be able, my goal one day is to be able to, once it's safe to do so, to be able to go and get a character, a live action character of Duty, and go to the hospitals and drop off the books myself and with the character. That's my eventual goal when it's safe to do so, COVID related, all that stuff, because, you know, but thank you. That is amazing. But yeah. What were you saying, George?
No. I was saying that that darkness of that comic is not something that's for today. That they just said, hey, you know, everything's dark. Let's put it.
Oh, I know. That's I know. But it's just interesting that everything now had to have a dark theme. You know, why not just go back to traditional slapstick fun? You know, just fun. But everything, Batman is no longer Batman. Batman is just this crazed vigilante killer. You know, even all the villains, they're all psychos. They, you know, I mean, the Riddler, I mean, he's slitting throats. I mean, it's crazy.
I see what you're saying, dude, but you got to remember, like, some of those things were taken from Frank Miller's Batman run that he did way back when. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's right. Just... It's not new. That if anything, they're recycling some of those stories and bringing them back now.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, it's just like the market is just flooded with everything. When you look at all the movies that are coming out, the promotional trailers is someone being shot, killed, beaten. All the trailers, right? So it's just death everywhere. So that my thing is, like, you know, when you look at society, how this dysfunctional society is, and then you look at the message that they're seeing all the time, it's death and destruction. They're mimicking what they see. You know, I think you have to have a balance. You know, where's the balance? Where do you put in the mix to try to, like, taper off some of this anger and frustration? And
Top Gun, bro. Top Gun, Maverick. That thing is that was just the fun, you know what I mean? Like, nobody got killed.
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
It was good. Yeah, it was good, man. It was fun. It was a good time. It was just sat there, you know, it's mindless. It almost looked like a friend of mine was telling me about this. Like, it reminded him of Star Wars a little bit, in right. How there was a mission that they had to accomplish and whatever. And when I don't want to spoil too much, but yeah, you guys should check it out. It's a really good movie. But no, yeah, I mean, listen, I like what you were saying. We're not critics, right? I enjoyed the Turtles myself, bro, in 2016, like you were saying. Right. I did. I didn't think, you know, people were like, oh man, they don't look like the Turtles. Maybe it's because I'm such a Turtle fan. Like, I really do love the Turtles. Whatever they do, I love. Right. I'm not attached to them to the point where, like, they have to look like the cartoons that I grew up watching. They didn't look anything like the cartoons. But if you think about it, the original comic was, they looked very different in the original comic than they did in the cartoon. So, you know, the Turtles go through their changes. And so I'm excited. I'd like to see this. I'd like to see what they do with these with this animation. And see where they go. But you were talking about I guess the what is it, the nostalgia factor of it all, right?
Yeah, like, first it's like at the expo, a lady walks by my booth, two women, right? They walk by my booth and one goes, oh, it looks like the Turtles. I said you crazy. I said look, I'm not disrespecting the Turtles because I'm a Turtle fan. So I flipped my laptop cover. So my laptop, I have the cover of my laptop is the Turtles. And I was like, you see, I love the Turtles, but he's an alien. And then we just started talking and ended up being teachers from Dallas out here, from the teachers. And then we just started talking about comics and the Turtles. But Turtles are fans everywhere. That is a compliment. Yeah. And Turtle fans are everywhere. I mean, there's a turtle in Disneyland in my toilet, issues 1 and 2, you know, that the dude he's pissed off at. And, no, I love the Turtles. I think I love to see just something that's just fun, laughter, humor. That's why I love comedy so much. You know, that's why Sinbad, the comedian, I loved his comedy because there was no profanity. It was family based. He was just, I mean, you know, when you hear people talking about the best comedians, I don't know why his name never comes up, but he's hilarious as hell, but that's just me. I'm just saying, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but, you know, the violent stuff is just like, come on, you know, give us a balance. Give us some fun stuff.
Yeah, yo. So you were saying that, you know, with the critics and everybody talking about the Turtles and how, you know, they weren't well received in 2016. If you remember the Ghostbusters movie, with the three females wasn't
what I loved it.
I liked it too.
And
bro.
It got trashed.
I liked it.
I just think people were hating on the fact that it was a female led movie.
Yeah, I liked it, man.
I thought they were hilarious together. I think they complimented each other. I thought it was fun. You know, it's I don't know. I would love to see a reboot with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd love to see a part two.
What's Krista saying? Not true. She said, this is a case of knowing your audience and marketing accordingly. Not everything released goes to everyone. Yeah, I mean that's what it is. Some of it, you know, there are people there's a reason why that stuff is out there. I think people want that kind of stuff sometimes. So yeah. I guess that makes sense. But going back to your point about the girls, yeah, I enjoyed it, bro.
Yeah,
I did. I enjoyed it.
I thought Thor was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thor. He was great. Chris. Yeah. Oh man, he was funny, bro.
I just snorted.
He was funny, dude. He was a funny cat. Funny,
he was hilarious.
Yes, yes, you know? He was. But Ghostbusters is going to have a sequel for the Afterlife, the new storyline that they have going on. And they've dubbed it a Firehouse. So it's coming back to NYC. It's coming back to New York. We'll see what they do with it. I think that, yes, nostalgia plays a big factor into it. And I think we want to see the old, what we grew up
Everybody
watching.
Everybody cheered when they seen the original cast of Ghostbusters pop up in the film, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. People miss that stuff. That's when you have that ingredient. So it's like, I'll give you a perfect example. My wife, right? My wife made tortilla soup one day, and it was fire, bro. It was off the chain. I was like, wow. But then she decides that she wants to change the recipe, and it was never the same anymore, right? So you might have the label tortilla soup, but it just didn't have that ingredient that created that wow factor, right? Same thing, right? So Ghostbusters, they've been trying so many times, but what made Ghostbusters was the original cast members, was the theme, was Slimer. You got to always have Slimer in the film. You know, you got to have this humor in the film, you know, that dry sense of humor, that play, that word play that they had. That's what made it so special. And I think everyone's trying to fit a trend, a growing trend, rather than saying, this is what works for us. Let's just keep the magic, bro. You know, you can always enhance, but keep the fundamentals. And I think that's what was missing. So whenever you see, you know, the squad come back, everyone's like, that's who I want to see.
Yeah. But you know what? You can't always have the squad. And that's why, for me, the girl movie worked, because you can't always have the squad. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, these guys, I mean, listen, Raimi's dad, unfortunately, you know, passed away. You know, you have what's his name? Dan Aykroyd. They're all a lot older. Like, they can't keep making these movies. And so they're trying to, you know, obviously you got to do what you got to do. You got to move. If you're going to keep bringing it back, you're going to have to do that.
I would have transitioned to a Ghostbusters school where they're the teachers.
See, I think that they, and they kind of hinted at it in the female version of the movie. Mm-hmm. With the black girl being related to what's his name? What's his name's character? We met him in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, they hinted at the fact that she was related to him and stuff like that. So there was some kind of, you know, link to it a little bit. But I enjoy it. I just think that as long as you're writing a good story, as long as you're writing a fun story, and I think what made Ghostbusters fun for us as kids is that they tackled something that was scary, like ghosts, and they made them fun. You know, you put them in these traps, you blast them with these rays, don't cross the streams. Like, they just made it really, really fun. And as long as you make a story fun, I don't care what you're doing to it, just make it fun.
I think the key word, what you just said, was storytelling. Yeah. And I think that's the component that everyone's struggling with. Winston, viejo.
Winston! Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Jesus.
He's with the Google. I think that's the part, right? Because, like, even Afterlife, it started off telling a good story, but then they rushed it. Then it sped up. Like, Afterlife could have been two films. It could have been broken into two parts. But I think it started off, you know, the family moving, you know, to, you know, because out of money, and they're going to this place, and the mom's pissed off at her dad and all this other stuff. But it started out with a nice, good story, but then it just sped up and it went straight to action, 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 action. And so I think for me, it's like, that's where the film, the politicians in the film industry, you know, they get it twisted. I think tell the good story, you know, let it play out, you know, make sure the beats are there. Doom, 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 doom. And I think what happens is they're going doom, 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 and it changes, you know, it throws the whole dance floor off beat, you know, it's like, so it's like that damn, promo I saw on YouTube where the DJ, starts, playing, you know, turn out for what? And this guy's about to start dancing, then he changes to Dancing Machine. You kid, the guy's pissed off because the whole thing threw him off. That's what they did with the movies. You know, they start off, everyone's getting pumped, and then it's, and then it's like, where the hell did you just go? You know what I mean? And then you know, it's like, you got to take people on a ride, you know, in a slow build up, and you got to get to that, that one moment where boom, it's like ecstasy, you know?
But, And I that's a good point about storytelling, and you're right about that. I think that when you're writing a story, or when you're doing a story like this, I think, because even if you watch the old Ghostbusters, like I've watched it recently, and it wasn't like this masterpiece of a film. There weren't like these. It was just,
it's fun.
As a kid, but that's what I'm saying. As a kid, they sped that thing up for me, because as a kid, my attention is not gonna, you're not gonna be able to keep it for that much longer. So you have to throw in the lasers, and you got to throw in the fun stuff. Otherwise, as a kid, as me as a kid, you're gonna lose me. So I enjoyed that film.
I think you lose the kids once they finish their popcorn. Well, like, oh, I got nothing to do.
Which is why you got to have zoom, 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 and you got to have things going on the screen to get them back and get them back into the film. But listen, I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters. You know, the next one.
I'll watch any Ghostbusters. I don't care what they
exactly. Exactly. That's the point. But, and we're running out of time real quick. But real quick, you are a big fan of Rob Liefeld.
Word.
Right?
Word.
He's got a book, comic book, coming back out, remastered. He's using the word remastered. Prophet Number One is making a comeback for those comic book heads out there who like some of that old 1990s Image stuff. Rob Liefeld is coming back with Prophet Remastered through Image, and it's releasing in July 20th. So check that out. There's also a movie in development that I wasn't aware of until I read this article. And Jake Gyllenhaal is attached to the project. I don't know if they have pages of the book there. They look
this is on Image. Hold on a second. It's on Image's website. Let me see.
It's on their website. Yo,
They have a lot of different covers.
Yeah, some of those preview pages, bro, off the hook. But yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's attached to the movie that it's in development. I don't know if it's gonna, you know, it's almost like what's going on with Spawn. I don't know how long this is gonna be in development, but
yeah, there's no that. You know, it's funny because when
that's by him, right? He did that
last year. Yeah, I think it was last year when he announced it on Facebook. I jumped in and I was like, hey, and you know, when he said the book's coming back, it's like any chance of Stephen Platt coming back and joining Prophet. I think he, you know, his version of Prophet was amazing. I just got a big no, no response, no nothing. Oh no, he's moved on. No, we can't get him. Just a no. So that quick little response for me alluded to the fact that there might be some sort of underlying stuff with this guy. But yeah, I mean, I love Prophet. I have every issue of Prophet, and I have and everything done by Stephen Platt. But I have every issue.
Yeah, no, I never got into it. I know that was what was it? That was part of the I think he debuted in Youngbloods number 2 or something like that. I was reading. That's where the character actually debuted, and then everybody loved it so much that they were like, "Yo, we're gonna have
that." But that was like the curse of Love Liefeld back then. He was burning money so much because he wanted to do so many different titles. I think if he would have just stuck with Youngblood and Prophet, he would have been fine. But, you know, he had Youngblood, Prophet, Extreme. He had all these different titles. And
Domino.
He had a spinoff for a spinoff for a spinoff for a spinoff. And I'm like, he had Bad Rock, you know. Morning, Jerry.
What up, Jerry?
Yeah. So I think, you know, he diluted his stock, if you will. right? So because it was just a bunch of, and every comic became splash pages. So when they started, he has, you know, he had great pages, panel structure, you know, whatever. But then when he started just flooding the market with all these titles, it was just all splash pages.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah, no, it actually looks like a, it looks like a good book. When it comes out, I may have to pick it up and check it out. But yeah, no, that's all we had, I think, for as far as the pop culture stuff. Why don't we go into our topic? But before we do that, Sam, what happened a year ago today?
This happened on Catch the Craze.
That was good. J-Lo had some, you know, hey, Selena. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah, she killed it with Selena.
That's it. That made her
biddy,
career.
Biddy, biddy, bum, there. Bum.
Said biddy biddy bum. Oh, the most non-Hispanic Puerto Rican. With wow.
Oh, that was awesome. God. So that was we were still in the 200. That was episode 288. I found it, Sam. You actually entitled it, yo, this kid said biddy biddy bum bum lol.
Yes.
So it's episode 288. That's where that came from. But dude, what the hell, bro? That was biddy biddy bum bum.
That's funny.
Funny enough, I think J-Lo's got a some kind of documentary about her coming out on Netflix. And she
was
actually on CBS this morning talking about it, you know, ironically enough.
Oh, Selena?
Yeah. No, just about,
oh, her, just about J-Lo.
Her life, yeah. J-Lo's yeah. life, like her life. They got a documentary about her. So it's funny that came up on my feed today and they were announcing that on CBS.
That's awesome. This morning.
But anyway, segueing to when things don't go the way you plan, right? So talk to me, Sam. You did that on the Crazy in 10 or Less. What prompted that topic for you?
My trip to Licensing Expo. So, you know, I planned this, you know, a couple months in advance. You know, I prepped, you know, I did all the legwork, right? I got all the props ready. I got everything in production. I got everything, you know, everything was ready. You know, the marketing ready, the promotion ready, the props, the display, the booth setting, the merchandising, everything. And then it started, like the first sign that things are going to get a little, hey, sit down. Things are going to get a little cuckoo, come here, is when I went to the UPS, right? I got four boxes. I go to UPS. I was like, I want to ship this over there, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing it a week in advance, so I got time, right? They go, all right, $800. I said, wait, yo, dude. I said, what is this, the Gambino family? I said, what is this? Are you trying to muscle me? I said, 800, where you get that number? And you just pull it out of the air? I said, nah. So, and it's a hot day. It was like 98 degrees that day. So I had to go and carry the boxes back to the car. And I went to the post office. So I go to the post office. And I'm already sweating. And I go there. And it was like $550 cheaper, right? And so it was a little over $200. But I was like, all right. So I go get my COVID test. The girl puts two damn plungers down my nose. Makes me freaking almost choke. And I get on the plane. I head out there. Hey, I get there. And my packages are not there. Right? It said it was delivered on Saturday. So I'm there Monday. So it got delivered Saturday. I get there, package is not there. So I'm going crazy. And it says it goes to the FedEx in the hotel. And then FedEx says, well, we didn't get it from the post office. So I go to the post office. They don't have it. They said, no, FedEx has it. Go back. So I was like, you need to find it. So I go into the expo. I'm trying to find out how long do I have, because I got to have the booth set up that day, because the next day is the event. And they said, you got till 5 p.m., right? So I go straight to the booth. I'm missing a wall, no electricity. I'm like, what the hell is this? So now I got to go find the union guys and all these contractors, and I got to get this stuff done. So then they go, boom. So then I go back. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They finally found 3 of my packages. So I'm like, all right. So at least the banners, you know, to set up was one of the boxes they found. So I go and
you had nothing there? You had nothing?
Nothing. So I go, I start setting up, go back to my room. I bought these sneakers. Well, sneakers from hell, bro. These sneakers were cutting into me like they were I was like, yo, I felt like piranhas were eating my foot. It was just horrible. Right then, and not only that, but then my shins started hurting and my thighs started hurting. I was like, yo, why are my legs hurting? I feel like I got beat up. Then my boy, his plane was delayed. He was supposed to get there at 11 o'clock p.m. He got there the next day at 3 in the morning. At 3 in the morning, he's coming into the hotel room. And then they left his luggage in New Jersey. So he's there with no luggage, right? So that's, I'm like, oh, man. So now we get to the expo. I don't have the giveaway bags. I don't have the props. I don't have anything, right? I'm like, what the hell? And they still haven't found my stuff. So this is Tuesday, day one. They don't find anything. And now I'm starting to get body aches. So I'm feeling, what the hell? So Wednesday comes. They find my boxes in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon. So then I finally got the giveaway bags, all that stuff, whatever. We're going through the motions. I can't get soup I'm feeling sick. I can't get soup at the place. And then when I finally found soup, it was all greasy and it was just noodles and grease. And I was like, what the hell is this slop sink stuff? You know, so I'm like getting meds. My boy, he had like a whole medicine cabinet in his luggage. He had everything. He's like, here, take this, take that, take this. I feel like crap. And then he leaves Thursday afternoon. And then Friday, I have to go and take down the booth. I go, 2 of my banners are stolen. Right.
wait, hold on. Before you continue. Uh-huh. This sounds like you're telling us the crazy 10 or less all over again.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is I planned for everything. I didn't plan for missing packages. I didn't plan for my stuff getting stolen. I didn't plan to get sick. You know, all these things, right? And so even with all that, I had to find the mental strength to stay focused and engaged. Even though my body's hurting, my mind is on the boxes missing, all these things that, you know, playing in my head, I had to stay focused and I had to remember what my mission was, to connect, to pitch, to network. And so the decision, I could have made the decision to say, F this. I'm done with this. This is bullshit. You know, what else can go wrong? And I could have been a victim of the situation. Or I said, you know what, let's just figure it out. And that's what I did. I said, you know what, I'm just going to go through the motion and whatever. So that's the basically what it is that you can plan for everything, but still not plan for the things that could have come from around the corner. You're never going to see what's going to come around the corner. You just got to be prepared to deal with it. Because it's never going to be perfect.
Yeah. No, I think that's something you can apply that to just life in general. I don't think you can be ready for everything that comes your way. There's no way. There's just no way. I don't think that things happen. You know, things happen all the freaking time. With Kickstarters, perfect example. You know, you think you have everything planned out. You know, you're ready to ship. You're ready to send your stuff off to the printer, the printer's delayed. Or, you know, you get a comic book back or you get the comics in and you've had this, you have damaged books. You can't send those damaged books out. You got to send those back. That's going to cause a delay. What do you do? How do you plan for that? You can't, unless you order extra books in case some of that stuff happens. But when you're, you know, when you're limited to certain, to the amount of money that you have to do these things, you can't do that. So, It's always gonna happen, dude. But it's almost like what you were saying. You gotta persevere. You gotta push through it. You gotta do what you have to do to get it done. You can't just sit back and say, "What am I gonna do?" or quit. Adapt to the stresses. Exactly. Yeah. Right. You just do what you have to do, man. Especially when there's so much money involved, man. You can't listen. You walking away from that would have been insane. You couldn't do it.
It's like, yo, I have a purpose here, and in the back of my mind, it's like, what else is gonna sneak up on my ass, right? But I was like, you know, because there was a point where it's like, yo, this stuff, you know, it's like I had to order. That was the other thing. I had to order sneakers because I just couldn't walk anymore in those damn sneakers. I left the damn sneakers in the room. I ordered from Amazon and it got shipped overnight, and you know, these soft Pumas, and I was like, ah, oh, thank you. I had a special cover that was supposed to be made by Kablam, but they have a paper shortage, so my Kickstarter backers now have to get a variant version of that cover. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy part. I mean, Mixum has that problem, and if you make any orders from Mixum, they tell you immediately, expect delays due to paper shortage issues. You know, and that's the crazy part. And I don't think it's not a supply shortage. It's a people shortage producing the resources to supply the consumer. It's people who are not going back to work. That's the real issue around everything. And a lot of things that when you go to the Walmarts and you see shelves half stocked, it's because there's a shipping issue. There's all that stuff. There's tariffs. There's all these fees. There's all that stuff is coming internationally.
I remember that time that you were printing out a comic book and it came too dark. You remember that, where you had like the pages were too dark.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, but again, a lot of that stuff too is like, for example, we learn from those mistakes. I'm sure Jerry, you're probably not going to be using Kablam. You're probably going to be going through another, printer maybe. I don't know. So when stuff like that happens, you leave it in your head and say, okay, wait, I can't do that again. Like I remember when that happened to you, you were like, yep, got to get those proofs. Proofs are coming in. Or like you were saying with the sneakers, you know, maybe you know, hey man, these sneakers are not comfortable. I'm going to have to wear these. Whatever it is, you learn. You adapt. You have to learn from those mistakes. If you don't learn from them, that's on you. If the next time around the same thing happens to you, now you just can't blame it. Yeah, see?
And it's funny because I said, you know what? I'm just going to use FedEx to ship my stuff back. Mm. FedEx was the same exact price as the post office.
That was
You know, so I was like, oh, I should have done FedEx from jump. Went to FedEx and I got home. The day after I got home, the packages arrived at the house. I was like, holy crap, look how fast it got here. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, remember what your purpose is. No matter the scenario, remember your purpose. What's my purpose? You know, do I allow this to distract me? Do I allow this to change my face? Right? Do I allow myself to get to lose focus because of the scenario, or do I just stay on course?
The term is called Murphy's Law. What can't go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's funny. It's like when I used to rock long hair, right? And, you know, I would go to work, I hairspray, keep it all together, right? But then I turn that corner, I'm walking the block, I'm a block away from the office. I turn the block and this gust of wind comes. And next you know, I look like Don King by the time I walk in the building. This wind comes and mess my hair. And I'm like this, right? And I'm like, damn, it was perfect all the way up till I turned that corner. But, you know, God went like this. He's like, gotcha, right? And you just got to just go to the bathroom, fix it up, get back to work. Yeah. So things are always going to happen. It's going to irk you, right? Yeah. It's going to get under your skin. You're just going to laugh at it and keep it moving.
I think when things like that happen too, is a good time for self-reflection and say, what could I have done better? Because there's always something we could have done. There's always,
wear a helmet.
Yeah, exactly. A helmet. Check to see what the weather's looking like outside before I step out. Maybe wear a little hat before I go in this door. You know what I mean? Like whatever. I mean, I think there's always something we could have done to plan, but something's always going to happen, bro.
You can try to plan.
Okay,
what happened with, what was it? That's like, what was it? 100 million Amazon packages that were on that freight train and the freight train crashed. And all those packages are all over the floors, and all these people came and stole all those packages that were from the freight train crash. So where's my package? Well, there was a crash. The train derailed. You know, it's like, you know, and so I know that conductor didn't expect that to happen when he was driving. You know, so everything, you know, again, it's not what happens. It's the decision you make when it happens. That's the most important. It's what you do in the moment is the most important.
I think you just have to roll with it, man. Stick and move, bob and weave, roll with the punches, all those cliches.
All that.
Yeah, nah, dude. It's a thing, and things will continue to happen. Things will.
That's life. I mean, it's always going to be that way, and I've never known it any other way. You know, there's always a surprise. Every time you think you got everything covered, boom, something comes. I'm like, oh, mother. right? And you just gotta just like, all right, whatever. I guess I gotta deal with this now.
Yeah.
And just gotta, you know, it's like my wife used to tell me, you don't get even one of my old bosses, it doesn't seem like you care. Because I don't get animated like everybody else. When something goes wrong and, you know, everyone's in the freaking conference room and they're acting, I'm sitting there and they're like, well, because I'm trying to figure out how it happened and what do we need to do to recover from it. And I said, so I don't have the energy to act that way, you know, because that's wasted energy. I'd rather figure out where did we go wrong? Where, you know, what could we have done? And then how do we fix it? How do we get over this really quick? Right. Yeah. Instead of sitting in the moment and just wallowing in self-pity and saying, hey, you know what I'm saying?
But I think that's a personality thing. I think more so than you. If your personality is to, you just have a short fuse and you're just going to go, you're not going to be able to change that. I don't think.
No, I had a boss. I had a boss. Every situation, it was like,
yes,
this is crazy.
That's just who he was.
Animated.
Yeah, exactly.
Slamming things, cursing. Yes,
that's just who he was. Yeah, that's just a personality thing. Some people just kind of can sit back and say, all right, let me assess this and whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to get upset. Some people just, boom, are going to fly off the handle. I don't think that you can't advise how to react.
No,
you're just going to be who you are. You know,
I always tell this story. I had a boss. Something went south. He went flipping. I mean, when he flipped, everybody ran out the office, right? He was the director. And so he's like, get out of my office now. Slams the door. He's going and he's just F, right? So I go and I pick up his phone off his desk and I start dialing. He's what are you doing? I said, I'm calling your wife. He's like, what? And he looked at me and he hung up. Why are you calling my wife? I said, because you're about to have a heart attack and I want to let her know it wasn't because of me. He starts laughing. He calls me an asshole. He goes, this is why I like you. He goes, you have a warped way of bringing humor to a situation. He goes, now go out there and fix it. Right?
And that way of reacting to things has obviously worked for him because he was in the position that he was, you know, up, you know what I mean? So that's worked for him. So he's always going to be that way. And I think that's what it is. I think we're all different. We're all like, you handle things completely different than other people. I handle things my way. People watching this right now handle things their way. And if that brings you success, then keep doing it that way. If it doesn't, then you may want to, you know, say, okay, well, what am I doing that maybe I can be doing better or I can be doing different, you know, to give me the results I want.
Exactly. I think for me, it's just, you know, it don't make it personal. I think that's the biggest thing. I think when people lose control, it's because they made it personal. They made it about them. It was a situation that happened because somewhere along the line, something influenced it. Figure it out. Keep it popping. You know, keep it moving. But don't make it about you. And don't make it personal.
Word. Facts, son. Yeah, no, man. But that's things are going to happen, man. Like Chris said, Murphy's Law. And sometimes that just, you feel like, damn, I have this cloud over my head. Why do things keep going wrong? What the hell is going on? Yeah. But you got to keep moving, man. Keep moving forward. Keep moving through it.
That's a great example. It's funny because I said that. There was a couple of organizations I worked for. I always had that same type of boss, right? Where the boss, it was just like, I just can't with this one. I just can't. But I never dealt with it. I never confronted it. So I would just leave the company and go somewhere else, right? And then I said, you know what? I'm going to have to face this head on because I'm getting the same personality trait all the time. And so I got to figure out why. So until I dealt with it, it stopped. Yeah. Once I dealt with the scenario and like an adult and handled it, from that point on, that next boss was the one I was looking for my entire life, right? You know, I was like, oh my God, I just made it to the next level. This is the one I've been looking for. This is the one that's going to allow me to be me, right? And so, but until I got past the seven chambers of death, I wasn't going to go to the next chamber, right? So it's like, you have to deal with it. You have to confront it. You can't avoid it. You can't run from it. Just handle it.
Yeah, man, pivot.
That's it.
But yeah, my brother. So yeah, no. So that's our show for today. I think make sure that you have the pledge to the campaign that Sam has on right now for There's an Alien in My Toilet number 2. But also, Sammy, what else you got? You got anything else before we go?
Yes. Don't forget. Let's see. Yes, if you're going to be at Dallas Fan Expo, come and visit me at Dallas Fan Expo. And again, if you back the campaign and you're going to be at the expo, come visit me at the table. I have a special gift for you. And again, don't forget the comic book for kids tier. If you add on the tier for comic book for kids, six books are going to the organization, and you will get a sketch card from me in the mail with your package. So that's a great tier. So we got 21 days for Disney in my toilet. Please share it out with your friends. Let the world know. We're hungry. They're acting up. And don't forget, subscribe, like, if you haven't done so already. Where is that dang thing? Right there. Bang. Subscribe to the channel.
Yo,
these guys are just
open the door. I got a little announcement for the guys too while you do that, if you want to open it up.
No, because they're gonna pee in my hallway.
Oh well, real quick then, tomorrow, make sure that you check out the show. We have Marvin Nguyen that's gonna be on the show tomorrow. His Kickstarter is also live right now for a book called The Edge. So make sure you check that out. Tomorrow on Catch the Craze, it airs at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's not a live show, although, you know, it looks like it will be. So you can put up your comments in there. We try to check in from time to time. But yeah, Marvin Nguyen will be on the show tomorrow, so make sure you check that out. The Edge is the comic book that he has. It's on Kickstarter, so make sure you check that out. Thank you to all 601 subscribers. Thank you so much. We're trying to get to 1,000, so please subscribe. Share the channel out. Tell your friends that we're out here. We talk about, you know, indies and comics and pop culture and all that other fun stuff. And because yesterday we had a really good show with J.D. Rosario. Big shout out to him. Came through. We did a live show with him about his Kickstarter, Storm Chaser. So that was cool. Thank you to everyone who joined the chat today. Jerry E4 Comics. It was awesome having you as well, my friend. Paul, always from ASAP Imagination. You're the man. Crystal. Everybody who was on here, even the ones that were watching silently, thank you so much for tuning in. But so what else do you have, Sam? I know you were in the middle of something before the kids.
Later this afternoon, I'll be live drawing today. And also I will be on two shows today. So I'll be on two podcasts today. Let's see, where are these guys? Here he goes. All right, so at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, I'll be on Flipside Focus. And at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll be on Story Comic. So join me on those shows tonight. And don't forget, if you backed issue one of Disney in My Toilet and issue two, you're going to get this magnet. And if you didn't back issue one, but you backed Wonder Duck and you back this issue right now of Disney in My Toilet, you'll still get the magnet. So not a good stuff. Say like Brooklyn represent.
Brooklyn represent.
Brooklyn. Always fucking fresh. House. Brooklyn in the house.
Sure. Definitely do that. And again, guys, the surveys are out for the Adventures of Wonder Duck. So if you haven't filled those out, please fill them out. Sign into your Kickstarter account and fill out the surveys. That's all I got, Sammy.
So all I got. So with that said, we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you again for watching, supporting, subscribing, and we will see you next time. And don't forget that you told them this Friday we got the show.
Yes, tomorrow. Marvin Nguyen.
All right. So with that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
We are out.